Thursday.
All right, tell me what happened Thursday, Doc.
I was at work, and sitting in like in a dimly lit room.
Yeah.
And I happened to look up, and out of my left eye was a real bright light flash, like a you know how the bulb on one of those old school cameras
was right.
Flash.
Yes,
it was real bright.
Yeah.
It was real bright, extremely bright.
Right. I'm glad you all believe me now that it's happening to you.
And it's like it shot me. It was so bright. It came from my eye though.
Yes, I know. And where did you see that for the first time?
I saw it for the first time over your house in your eye.
Okay. And then that night you started seeing it yourself?
Afterwards, yes.
Okay. Well, that's a powerful thing. That's a good thing. And I thank you for that. Please, let us hear it.
Last shadow hour, I dreamed that it was me and a few other Milwaukeeans.
Yes.
That was at an actual function or a place.
Yes.
And noon had came to the door.
That's a very good vision.
We started walking in singing, and then he got on stage, and he just started teaching.
Very good.
And everybody was pulling out their cameras and their phones, taking pictures of him. But he was very stern, and he was very serious of what he was saying.
Exactly. Very good.
But it wasn't that many people. It seemed like only few people actually had selected to be there. There.
Well, I'm just glad that you were there. Very good. I ask a blessing. Next, anybody else have a spiritual experience they'd like to share? Think of those first questions, please. I love you, both of you. Appreciate it. What's that first question? Another spiritual experience? Or let's get that first question. Let's get this class open. Who's going to be the brave soul that's going to leap empty-handed into the open void? Who's
got...
How are you?
I have a question about my eye. I'm fine.
Okay, look, let me tell you. Your package was mailed, and I knew you told me you was going to get another one, so what I did is I doubled up the package out of faith and trust, okay?
I used to do that
with Susie, because we just both kept it coming in the open way.
As a man's eye book, 2:11, it says, so 2:13, it says, so past, present, and future is the same, the equidistant. So my question is, everything that happened in the past, present, and future, is it all happening right now?
Yes, simultaneously.
Is that why it's easy for people when they go to rest at night, they can say I had a vision of the future because it's already happening now as we speak, and it just hasn't happened on this physical realm yet for us to see it here?
Yes, see, everything with the Creator is predestination. When you're looking at the thing from the top down, but from the bottom up, it appears to be past, it has a timeline to it, a linear timeline that we describe as past, present, and future, where events seem to be progressively moving forward. Are you following me? When in reality, the only time relevant, that true time, is right now. There is no past or future, because all today is a continuation of yesterday, and tomorrow is a continuation of the day. An example is that today is Sunday, and tomorrow is Monday. When tomorrow gets here, will you call it tomorrow when you wake up?
No.
You'll call it today, right?
Yeah.
Because every time tomorrow comes, it's still today. See, there is no such thing as you and me, here and there, now and then. Are you following me? Even phonetically, when they say it's over there, when you take the T off there, what does it spell?
Here.
Okay, where? That's another place. Take the W off where?
Here.
And if you supposedly die, you only go to the hereafter. Okay. Everything is here and now. Are you following me? So what's happening, I'll give you a better way to look at it.
Okay.
It's just like, let's look at an old-time clock on your grandmother's wall. You see how the hand keeps, the minute hand, the hour hand, the second hand, keeps going around, time is going around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you recognize that all the hands are anchored on a central axis, on a center pin. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is time moving in a linear line from back to forward, or is it simply going around and around in the same place, spinning in a circle, not actually moving backward or forward? Okay.
I think it's
going around in a circle, right?
I'm not really-
going around a circle. I mean, the clock is going around a circle.
Well, that's indicative of time. Okay, I understand. I follow you. I sense your confusion, and I'm here to try to put some light in blind corners. I'm with you now here. I said that's indicative
of...
You're not equating a clock to actual time, I know. But I'm trying to get you to see that. I'm trying to get you to see that so I can take you deeper, okay?
Let us remain mindful of being courteous in a class environment, please.
If you equate the hands on the clock to time going around in a circle, then if you start looking at the environment of what you call the universe, which actually means one, and versus means against, like Om versus Ali, or against the oneness, which everything is singular, including time, you see that there's a formula that the scripture describes as above, so below. Are you familiar with that? Okay, so when we're talking about as above, so below, when you look at the galactic center, that you know that the universe revolves around on a vortex, black hole, or center. And then when you break it down even into a galaxy, and better yet, a closer proximity, is this solar system that has the sun in the center, then Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Now, all these planets, they revolve around that central sun. You see that?
Like a giant cosmic celestial clock, feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the atom beneath you
has electrons circling around a quark, a centered quark as a vortex, as miniature planetoids reminiscent of a solar system, just like the hands revolving around the clock.
So, in other words, are the planets actually traveling in a linear line, or are they just going around and around in a circle?
They're going around in a circle.
Exactly, but it takes the Earth how long to revolve around the sun? How many days?
And remember, you measure or calibrate time by its revolution on its axis, right? In regards to the sun, whether it's facing it as 12 hours day or facing away as 12 hours shadow time or night. That's how you calibrate your time down into hours, minutes, and seconds. Is that not right? Still going around in circles like the hands on a clock, feel me?
365 days. So in actuality, the Earth is creating the illusion of going from the past to the future in a linear line, like moving forward. Like after 360 years from this point, it would appear that we're a year ahead straight down the line, right, from where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not in reality, because you see the planet is not going in a straight line, it's going around and around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's also spinning on its axis as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now the effect of it spinning on its axis is this. You have it facing the sun at 12 hours in a 24-hour day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you call that daytime, right?
Yeah.
Daytime. And then when the reverse end of the planet is facing the sun, and the side that you're on is facing away from the sun, you call that darkness or nighttime, which is actually shadow time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it creates the illusion that in the morning the sun is rising and at night it sets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you would have 12 hours a day and 12 hours a night. But the sun is not actually rising and setting. The Earth is on its axis, and it's actually spinning in a circle, right? So is time passing, yes or no, or is the Earth just spinning in a circle, and you're using the calibrations of celestial mechanics by having 12 hours facing the sun as light and 12 hours facing away as shadow hour as that marking time, but in reality, it's just spinning in a circle. Are you beginning to see it?
Sure. But I'm thinking when I was listening to the tape that you had sent me, and you was telling the brother that had got the second and third degree burn, you told him, well, we're gonna need to go and travel back 30 minutes before the accident.
Exactly.
In my mind, I wanted to know I don't know how you and him did that, how that was
all right
done.
Okay, let me explain. I see your point. Let me explain it to you. That was because my oversoul was aware of the fact that he believed in illusion of time. All right? So in order to get him to follow my directions, I have to use certain terms. terms. Just like when I'm speaking to Christians and I speak about the creed, I use the word God, not because I think that's his real name, but I think that that's what they equate the creator to. Now, to answer your question about when I said I'm going to take him back a half an hour, I want to take your mind away from the cosmos and move it to a TV and a DVD player. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's, okay, let's put a movie, listen to me, let's put a movie in a DVD player, right? And then when we start the movie on the DVD player, that's the beginning of it, right?
Yeah.
And if we wait 4 hours, if it's a 4 hour movie, when we get to the after it's finished, we get to the end, right?
Yeah.
So how long was the movie?
Or how much time passed?
You said 4 hours.
Yeah, so it's 4 hours long, right? So is that a linear measurement, like from a straight line from forward, going from backwards, moving forward?
Or was the DVD circling around and around on a central axis or vortex like the hands on a clock or the planets around the sun or the electrons around the quark?
In reality, when I took Henry back, it was the same as if when we got to the end of the movie, I wanted to go back to the middle of the movie, so I simply rewind the DVD and I went to the middle of the movie, right?
Which is how the masters use a vortex rotating clockwise or counterclockwise in order to take you backward or forward in time. Reflect on the biblical account of Jesus standing between Moses and Elijah on a hill, all three men of this youth and vigor, yet thousands of years apart, historically, in time.
Okay, but let me ask you, when we go back, so we would call the beginning the past, the end the future, and the middle the present, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's on one disc, and like the solar system, the DVD is just spinning around and around on a circle on a central pin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it actually moving forward and backwards or backwards and forward, or just spinning around and around in a circle?
Just like time. Have you ever heard the saying, what goes around comes around in time?
It gives us the illusion that time is passing in a straight line from the past to the future, doesn't it? But it's not. But see, this is what I'm trying to say about existence. The only thing real is divine love. Everything else is merely illusion. This is merely illusion, howbeit a very persistent one. Are you following me?
Sure.
Your mind is powerful. This is only a dream
that you're kicking around in your head.
A phantasmagoria. Are you following me?
As the master says, you're the center of existence and all things are equal distance to you. In order for that to be true, all things have to be in the same place, right here and right now, and the same time.
So, I have a question about the prison book, and it talks about you can't be selfish, but you have to. You can ask to get certain things deleted off of your disk that have happened in your life. And I had something that happened to me in my life that I would love to be able to delete off my disk. But they said you can't do it out of being selfish. It's in the prison book from what I remember.
That would be a dimensional shift. Now, what it is that the name of that disk is called a Valar. Are you following me? And so, when the elders take you up through the vortex, right, through the black hole, through the vortex, are you following me? You have to, in advance, be very vivid about the age that you want to live your existence out, the age of your perfection. With me, I chose the age 30. So I suggest that right now, while you're conscious of it, that you select the age tonight and stick to it very vividly, because you have to make sure that you signal to them very clearly what age you want to be at permanently. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you establish that age, let's say it's 19 or whatever it is, as you're going through the vortex or through the black hole, what they do is they take all of your, they take a like a computer around your neck, and they decode all of your genetic information. Are you following me? All of your memories, all of your experiences, everything in your past and what you call your future and present, all of your joys and sorrows, everything is recorded on that disc. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So that when they bring you up through that black hole, What they can do is edit the disc. But it takes real masters to do this, because if they made any kind of mistake, they could delete your whole existence or just your future. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
See, but now let me ask you. Now, I have Pinnacle in my house. I'm capable. I can make DVDs like I did Conspiracy Reveal for the Master, etc., right?
Legal Defense series of 19 DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
So if I make a DVD and I look at it on TV and I don't like something, I can put it back in the computer, feed it back in the Pinnacle, and I can back it up, and then I can edit the disc. I can take this out and put this in, or change or alter that. I can edit the disc. Are you following me? So what they do is they actually download all of your genetic information from your DNA code, right, onto a crystal, a disc called a velar. And then they edit whatever it is that you want to edit it or take it out. Anything that you want taken out, they take it out. So that when you get through the black hole, Makita, on the other end, and they place the disc back on and then download it back into your new format, whichever age you chose, you will have all of your memories intact, and you would know that this is me, Makita, etc., right? Even though you have transformed to 720 degrees and became an avatar, Illumutajazanet, or supreme being, your personality would still be intact. You wouldn't just blend simply back into the rays and then forget about your existence here on Earth and all of your past lives. Are you following me? But they would have these masters, by your request, edited your velar or disc and removed all of the bad spots that you didn't want, or either altered them like I could on Pinnacle into a different outcome. Ain't that loving?
It wouldn't be actually deleted completely. The outcome would just be different?
No, it could be deleted or altered. It would be up to you. If you are Muwadu, let me explain. If you are Muwadu, if you are good, not if you're bad or if you're hiding something.
No.
Well, I mean, that's not, you're saying no to us. I'm just saying, you know what I mean, right? I'm trying to tell you what happens.
I was a little child.
I got what you said. I love you, sister.
Barrett.
I already know what it is you're talking about. I'm not, but that's the, my thing is, you want to alter it or delete it, that would be entirely a personal decision that you can make. It's up to you.
Yes, you can.
You can request it now, but it won't necessarily happen right now unless you're taken up tonight. I was taken up on the 26th of March for real. But now when I got there in front of the master, then because spiritual energy is clashing within myself, I said, what makes you think I'm ready to be taken up right now? And I was sent back, which, let me explain something to you all right now. There's a new affirmation class that just came out with his sister, Wakia,
our blessed matriarch,
on it. And she was reading a letter from him where he was stating that everybody has opposites or counterparts, rather. That's the best way to look at it. And for those of you that don't have it, get the movie Upside Down, and it'll give you Upside Down is the name of the movie, the DVD, and the master requested that we all watch it. It's going to show you about opposite parallel universes or existences where everything is upside down, reverse from, you know, and if it's bad down here, it's good up there, you know, all this stuff, reverse, right? And also, he wants you all to look at Dark City. When you look at Dark City, you're going to see exactly what happened to him in his childhood. And when I say exactly, I mean that. When these greens are in the house and you see on the light on the ceiling, it's going to give you the tetrahedron that we have with the three circles and the triangle in front of a lot of our books. These Canaanites, Caucasus, have that symbol on the ceiling of the house. So they know, right? And don't be afraid if it appears to be negative energy, because those people are afraid because these greys are terrorizing them, because that's their reality and not yours. The Caucasus is simply food, and they were bred like succulent pigs to be tender meat for reptilians. And many greys are subordinate that work for reptilians. And so they are actually being abducted. And white people don't mean anything more to them than when they mutate cattle brain mutations with laser beams to take specific organs like udders and eyes and all that to try to reconstruct grays. Are you following me? They're simply a food source. They don't have a soul, and they're not under protection. However, the Nagaru, who's created in their image and likeness, is under the protection, and you are not on the two words, MEN-U. You are not on the menu. You are not on the menu. Neither are the Asians, you know, such as the Chinese and the Koreans and all of that. Neither are the Hindus or the Indians. And I'll give you an example. You know, the Indians, they have mantras that they do and spiritual exercises that they do. The Orientals have the Buddhist and et cetera like that. Of course, you Nidaru, y'all have y'all chants and meditations and what have you. But the Kakasu, he doesn't adhere to any of this. His outlet is called recreation, which is two words, WRECK-CREATION, recreation. Are you following me? And he was given, when John Smith came down here for the Mormons, that was his last opportunity, listen to me, in order to be tied in with their, in sync with their overlords.
The disagreeable Anunnaki.
But they persecuted the Mormons, which was their last chance to be connected to the cosmos. And now they are cut off. And their own overlords are coming to them and asking them, why did they take this 6,000-year span of time when they had this covenant and use that time to persecute and torture, torment, murder, and kill the Nagaru, the original children, the star people? Why did they do that to those created in the image and likeness of the gods, except in order to strike out at the very gods themselves? And as such, they were cut off. And now, in 9-11, listen to the date, 2012, 9-11, not 9-11 when the towers went down, but 2012, 9-11, of course, these words were recited by George Bush Jr. and 9-11. And I'm not going to recite the two words, but I'll give you one of them. A bad dog is one of them. But Usamah, I'm going to tell you now, Usamah and a bad dog.
Well, we've come this far. The three words are Usamah, Apollyon, and a bad dog. Words chanted by George Bush Jr. at the World Trade Center's tower shortly after 9-11. Those three words
were recited by George Bush Jr. on 9-11. And what they actually did is actually put them in a tailspin and put a curse on them that marked the beginning of their destruction. And their destruction was keyed in to start a very real end marked 9-11-2012. So their time is up. So you have to understand that it's just the beginning of sorrows for them, but it's the beginning of the end of sorrows for you. And he was last, will be first, right? Are you following me? Now, okay, go ahead. What is your next question? I just started preaching. Go ahead.
I don't know the question. I do.
Yeah.
I
didn't hear you.
On the CD, the Vortex class on the CD from March 19th, and it was talking about when people cross over, how sometimes they can't get to the higher vibrations because there's a glitch in their lives and time don't know where to send them.
Yes. Okay. What he actually said.
Like, keep looking through it over again. How does time not know where to send them? Is time
okay, let me say. No, calm down. When you ask me a question,
Merritt,
to be patient. I know you're studying, you're learning, and I'm happy because your DNA is exploding. But give me a chance to add. If I say I got you, I'm with you, okay? Listen, what he's actually saying is that once you, if you're chosen to go up that vortex, when you meet your ancestor that is there, that's actually pulling you up through that vortex or wormhole, if you have a decision to make, whether you want to cross over now or that if you're not ready, you can be sent back or either stay. Are you following what I'm saying? Haven't you ever heard of people in the hospital and they're in the throes of death and then all of a sudden they recant to you, they went up a tunnel and at the end they saw a light in the beam and they were asked, did they want to stay there or did they want to go back? And the ones that came back live to talk about it, and they told you how beautiful it was over there, but they had some unresolved issues here that they had to take care of. So, when you go up there, if you've chosen to go up there, and I was blessed to do that, what happens is that if you decide to come back, then they expand, they open up this vortex again, and you're sent back down. Yes, you're sent back down. However, Makita, you're just getting in?
Brother, I've been trying to tell you that sister that's asking the questions is not me.
I got you.
I have a question.
I got you. Okay, I know. Listen to me. I know spirits. I love you. I know spirits. I should have knew better. Okay, anyway, what happens is this. When you decide to come back, they open up the vortex, the tunnel again, and you're sent back. But however, if you have a glitch in your soul because of some negative thing that you did in life, then they could delete your zero time reference. In other words, when you came from the spiritual realm or the etheric realm down to this planet Earth, and then you were placed inside of your mother and her ovum and your father's sperm before they came together conjugally to actually have physical sex, you were already placed inside of your mother 3 months in the ether before they actually came together physical, so that you actually have a 12-month gestation time in pregnancy as opposed to 9 months. That's why your birthday is every 12 months and not every 9 months. So what happens is that on the day that you're born, is that when the baby is coming out of the mother, the baby is still a spiritual entity, sister. It's not physical just because you can touch it. It doesn't become part of the physical realm until the doctor spanks it. When he does, the baby has to start crying, and in order to do that, it has to inhale and take a breath. That oxygen also has a life force in it called Sekhem by the Egyptians, or Prana by the Greeks. This is that green essence that comes from the sun that is what's called that vitalizes the body. And it's oxygen, it's mixed with that oxygen, so when the baby inhales through its nostrils, that oxygen goes down to its pumping heart. And the baby has been living off of the sun within its solar plexus. That's where it's been getting its heat and light from. And it's been breathing underwater with gills, and so it doesn't live by the sun outside that we're looking at and what we think is the sky. It's living by its inner sun as a spiritual entity that only has the fungus clinging to its flesh as a lower aspect of itself. Are you following me? That's an illusionary self, not the synthetic person, not the real them. But when the doctors, so the spirit and the body are completely separate, and it's a spiritual entity. But again, when the doctor spanks the baby and it draws that oxygen in, that oxygen is very flammable. Remember, when you put oxygen around fire, what happens? It's combustible. It bursts into flame. So you have an internal sun. That's why you maintain a constant body temperature 98.6, or you can get a fever or burn calories, or a person is capable of having spontaneous combustion. Speaking about the Caucasus, because they try to raise up their solar light like the Nagaru, and they can burst into flame from inside out. Do a computer search on spontaneous internal combustion. So, we know that there's a fire inside of you. And when you raise up the Kundalini, look at her, she's hot now. Now, when that oxygen hits that fire, it bursts into flame. When it does that, it creates a spark, like when somebody has a spark by a magneto in a car where they start an engine, and it starts combustion, and it starts the pistons to tumbling. This is what we call life. That tumbling is called life because it binds the spirit to the flesh or to the mud to create the living soul. The spirit, which is timeless, right?
Well, virtually,
right? Because if you use your spiritual eye, you can close your spiritual eye right now and look back to when you were 5 years old and see your elementary school's teacher and all of your friends if you focus hard enough. So, and you've also again had dreams, and then a week later something happened and you told a person next to you, "I saw this in my dream a week ago." So you can't remember the future. Don't let anybody tell you that. It's not just memory. You can look backwards and forwards with your mind's eye or all-seeing eye. That's the spiritual aspect of you that doesn't recognize any boundaries or borders or barriers such as time. You can see through walls and back and forth through time because it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. But when you came into this three-dimensional reality, solid, actual, and time-bound.
Morass.
Then, when again you took that breath, and with that, that combustion, the tumbling, binded the spirit to the mud to create the living soul, then you became, at that instant, part of this reality, and at that very instant that you took that first breath, we call that your zero time reference. Are you with me?
That was your introduction into this physical reality. That's when time started for you.
Well, ever since that point, you've been calibrating time to pass. Every time the earth revolves around the sun one time, you say that's 365 days, so that's 1 year older you are. And however many times the sun circle, the earth has circumambulated the sun since then, that's how many years old you are right now. Again, though, just like we established in the beginning, the earth is not going from front to back in a linear line. It's simply moving around and around like a DVD, spinning, like your favorite CD. It's not moving backward and forward. That's the illusion. All right? So, that if you have done something while you were here in this abode that was, you know, that it was distasteful or ugly or very wrong, it created a glitch in that record. You know, like if you get a scratch in the record, boom, 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 and you get stuck there, it creates a glitch in it, and the record can't go any further. Have you ever heard that before? If you get a glitch in the record, and then it gets stuck right there, it gets boom, 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 it can't move. It gets locked in that glitch. So if you have a glitch on your soul like that, a little scar in it, an indention, an ugly little spot right there, when you sit back down through that vortex or wormhole, that glitch, you hit that glitch, and then your time gets confused and doesn't know where to put you, and then it winds back down to zero again, and then what happens is, since it doesn't know where to put you, you just get trapped forever in right now.
Just listing like a sailor's ship without any further passage of time for you.
There is no more illusion of past or future for you. And what you do as an energy being, because you don't go up in the physical, you go up in the real trinity. You go up in the spirit, soul, and ether, and leave your body on the bed. I bear witness to that. And so what happens is that you as an energy being trapped in now, what happens is that you eventually, like a battery, your energy runs down and it's depleted, and then you just disperse and dissolve back into nothing again. Or you can be snatched into a side tunnel by one of these disagreeable extraterrestrial beings that you call demons that are just disagreeable extraterrestrial beings. And I don't have to tell you the kind of things they do to you. You follow what I'm saying? It's the kind of thing that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy or on any member of any other race. It's that horrible. Just the way that these reptilians handle you, well, I told you before, they take men and women that they use for food sources and bend them over big vats. And they strip them down, they stick a tube up your throat, one up your butt, one up your vaginal, one up your penis head, and they draw all the fluids out of you. All of them. And they don't give you nothing for pain. And then what they do is four times they pump another fluid into you to cleanse your body. And this is excruciating. This is unimaginable pain, and they do that to purify their food because they're preparing you for their menu. You have become food for the gods. Or either what happens is that the vortex, when you get down to your body again, if you don't have enough energy to get back in your body, and I was blessed to have enough energy to get back in mine, or either if you get lost out there a moment or more time, then if you're not blessed to have a master from above, the one that pulled you up, to take and grab you and place you back on your Sirat to get you back down here, you'll just be out there lost, wandering. Many souls out there just lost and drifting for many reasons in many places, and they don't ever know where they are, and they're lost forever. But for some, they'll come down and they'll levitate right over their physical body, and they'll be parallel to it and can look right at it. And they can see everything around them, all the people, but they don't have the strength to get back down into their body. And that's their hell right there. They can see it, and all the things they cherish, the sex and the money and the drugs and the food and the fame and all the sensory stimulus that they were so attracted and enamored by, they are trapped in that hell where they can see these things, but they can't touch them. And then some of you will be strong enough to get back into your body partially, but to get back into your body partially, but not all the way, so that you'll be forever on the physical plane, partially paralyzed. And you, because you can't get the life force to download all the way down into it. Now, that being said, I want to tell people that haven't heard it before my experience. On 26th of March, about 3:30 in the morning, because you have to know that the witching hour, or the time that you've been able to be taken up that vortex, listen to me carefully, is between 2:30 and 3:30 in the morning, specifically, exactly. About, if I recall, it was about 3 or 3:30 in the morning. I woke up in a dark room, but it was light. The room was light when I woke up, but not because there was a light on. But the atmosphere, the air itself was illuminated. And there was a strong wind blowing around in the circle. Real strong. I mean, like a tornado sucking me up. It was so strong, I thought it was going to pull me up and the house. I thought it was a real tornado. And I looked at the head of my bed, and I saw my cat Think with her side against the headboard, and she was staring at the wall like a bird dog. And I looked over there, and there was this big black round thing stacked up with like 20 little 1-inch legs with an elbow in it. Right? Look, you know what it is? Look, yes I am, because I'm going to give this to certain people.
Maybe I was given this experience in order to share with you so that you could benefit from my naivete.
All right? And this thing was so bad, and I resented it so much that I raised up out my body on my elbow, and I looked down at my body in the bed. By then, the cat had walked over to me like she always does and looked straight into the eyes of my spirit being, not the man on the bed, the physical form. That's why they have cats and seances. They can see spirits, believe me. She was looking at me, and I was trying to tell her with my eyes and mind, kill it, kill it, kill it. And I passed out, and I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I knew the wind would be stopped, but it wasn't. It was stronger. It was pulling and blowing so hard, and I thought to myself, that's why you always miss your blessings, out of fear. But I said, this time, I'm going to turn myself into a ship and just fly on up this thing. And that's what I did. And I let go and flew up there, but I lost consciousness, blacked out again. When I came to, I was at a dead stop. And when I looked to the left, there was this orange-looking being standing there with pointed ears, real evil looking at me, and the whole left-hand side of his body was covered with flat skin tags. And I just asked him, about how old is Malachi right now? He said, 30 years old. I said, that sounds right. Take me on up to Malachi. By that I mean, that 30 years old was the age I chose for my Ashlar. I don't know how he knew it. And I don't know how I knew Malachi was waiting. But when I shot up there, I didn't lose consciousness again. And there was a room I was in, looked like it was a concrete basement, and a concrete wall, retainer wall to the left, and I knew that it was vacant on the other side. Don't ask me how I knew. But over there to the right of this room, there was a concrete staircase coming down next to the wall, bright, bright lit. And there was Imam Issa, looked like, dressed in a white jalabiyah with a turban with Ansars in white behind him. And I was hovering right in front of his face, in front of his eyes, looking directly into his eyes. His eyes were solid green, the same color as the arm books. And I was trying to make eye contact with him so he could give me some clarity about what this black thing was, who's this orange cat, and why am I sucked up out of my bed in the middle of the night. But his eyes started jumping back and forth from left to right real fast. I kept trying to follow his eyes. I couldn't follow him, and I got frustrated and said some dumb, I said, what makes you think I'm ready to be taken up right now? And I woke up back in my body. Now, I was blessed to do that because you have to be strong in meditation and chanting and prayers, etc., in order to be strong enough to get back to your body. But I was so upset with myself because I felt like I fell short of failed the test. But then 3 days later or so, I was blessed and graced by the Most High, my nitma, my grace, to go back up. I don't remember the wind or the tunnel, but I woke up and my head was sticking to the floor and my chin was resting on my folded arms on the floor, and I looked like I was in a closet looking out into a bright lit room. And there was Malachi standing by a table with a lot of other people in the background. I don't know who, what they were or what they looked like, but I knew they were there, but I wasn't focused on them. I was only focused on him. Then I was standing next to him and I told him with my mind, because don't let anybody kid you, you don't have no vocal cords in the spiritual realm. It's telepathy. Mind to mind, it's silence. That's why everybody will know what you're thinking, and you can't go up there with no negative mind. And so I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry. I love you. And in the back of my mind, I said, please forgive me.
He told me, well, I'm going to come back and get you a circulus date on the calendar.
Then the scene changed. We were standing in the room. He was leaning against the wall with his arms folded and his feet over his foot over his other foot. And I was telling him, I said, about my healing nerves. Should I teach somebody how to use them and give them to him? He said, you can do that. I said, look, I got almost everything you did. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, and more than one copy of each, I was talking about his books and things. And he said, do you have the Urim and Thummim stones? And I picked the black bag up. I said, yes. And I know he knows, because he's the one that gave me my stones. And then that vision was over. And here I am, I sit and wait. But now, when you all, in time and a half, when time comes, you all, it'll be revealed to you all who Malachi Zeorc's counterpart is. Everybody has one, okay? But whatever it is, you and your counterpart are one. Just remember that. And the one there, and the one there, and the one here are one. All right. Now, I'm off the tangent. I hope I answered your question. What is the next question? And everybody, this class won't be going out to the world. Trust me.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Sister Makita, and I just have a question along those lines.
I was thinking
also about the age you want to require, you know, to be with Stop Cast.
Yes.
Something like that.
Okay.
And I'm thinking of an age anywhere between 19 and 25, but I have children after that age. Does that make a difference? Or
none. It makes no difference.
Say something. You talked about edit.
Yeah, it makes no difference.
Makes no difference?
No, because your children are not from you, Makita. They're through you, right? So you have to focus on your own oversoul, right? And let me tell you something. Let me warn you against something. When you generalize between 19 and 24, that's not specific. That's not an age. You have to be decisive and decide what age exactly you want to be at, okay?
Okay, got it. Thank you.
All right. Next question. Mike Radford, we need you now to describe what you and I saw on the highway on the 26th of July going toward Atlanta to meet with the Nawabians to get our tones.
From his blessed niece, Fatima Ma'at, daughter of Balat, our matriarch.
I'm here.
Please describe it real quick, son, as clear and loud as you can.
Yeah, we were riding up to Atlanta, the moon in Atlanta. And we seen a triangular ship.
I said we was riding up to the mirror in Atlanta, and we saw a perfect triangular ship. It was like energy, it was like perfect triangular, just sitting there in the daylight, in midday. It was like daytime, and it's right there, like, just look up in the sky, and we seen it. And then we rolled, we trying to take pictures of it, and then show up on the camera at that time, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah, now let me say it the way he was driving, and I'm the one, I saw it off the right side. Something said, look up, and I saw it, perfectly symmetrical, exact vivid lines, big, plain as the car in your driveway, triangle shape, light craft. It was an interdimensional craft, because you could tell it was an energy light craft, and had a big black circle in the middle of it that was kind of concave, middle bottom. It kind of came out, it kind of curved to the bottom. It was so bright in that empty blue sky with not a cloud in the sky. It was there so plain it stayed there about 5 minutes until I told him to try to take a picture of it with his camera. But the one thing we noticed, that it was jets scrambling from every direction. Jets were scrambling from every direction running at it. And then when I was looking at the camera, I looked back in the sky about 5 minutes later and the thing was completely gone, and so were the jets. And next thing you know, we was a long way away from Atlanta, but like Mike Mumford and I going to Washington, D.C.
As I was requested by partner Babian Noon to go and see that attorney as well.
We went through some kind of a time warp or something, because we ended up there real quick, pulling up there, and there was Mike Mumford and his daughter, Orion, there, and we all had a wonderful time getting the tones. It was a magical evening, it really was up there, very magical. All right, now anybody else have a question right now tonight?
Without moving, I have a question.
Yes.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, earlier you were speaking about we could do some things.
Okay, let me say this before you. Let me say one thing. I don't make it a custom to interrupt people, but I need to say right now, brother, even though I know it was done out of love and reverence for the master, that it was also said very clearly and intensely and succinctly that there was a rumor mill flying around about the master being in a wheelchair. That is erroneous. It's not true. No such thing is happening. And so I want everybody that was alarmed by that to know that we shouldn't stop visualizing him free and working on getting him his freedom, but that he definitely is not nor ever was in a wheelchair. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Okay.
Okay, the question is, if from past deeds you have a glitch in your soul and you get lost in a vortex, how do you go back in time to correct the misdeed in order to fix the glitch?
I'm not going to waste a lot of time with lengthy supplication and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to start with lip profession and gum popping. My answer is I don't know. But I suggest that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, believe me.
For sure.
Yeah. Just remember, God don't like ugly. So be respectful toward your brothers and sisters and don't talk over your elders and have respect for people. You know, you be good, be mulatto, you're going to be all right. That's a good spirit.
Okay.
I think you're going to be all right, brother. Don't worry about it. And next, hey, let me tell you something. These beings are very compassionate and forgiving, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have went up there, too. Believe me, I'm serious. I have a spotted past also, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I just put together a text for him for Fatima, because she was visiting him up there, and I was. Well, part of the text was is that the human passage is very difficult. You know. Go ahead. Next question. Is that it? No more questions tonight. We're going to start the reading of the Patarak. Black is evil. White is good. There's what now?
I feel there's a great need in my soul. To commit? A connection to it.
Yes, I'm sure. And with all of us here, he came to us in our childhood, right? And he is part of, if you go to chapter 6 of the Holy Tablets, where that Gabriel came to Achmed, and Achmed refused to what he was saying because Gabriel confessed he had never seen Al-Hayu, because Achmed saw him in that light before. He saw him in that light. Trust me, I bear witness to that. But the point is that when Gabriel did see the Most High, and the veils of light were going one after another, the Most High said, look in this light, I am that light. He said, what do you see? And he could make out a faint image in that light. The light was so bright he could barely make out the being inside of it. And then he said, Ya Al-Hayu, Al-Kedar, Yahuwah. These are powerful words. Ya Al-Hayu, Al-Kedar, Yahuwah. Look deep into this light, and what do you see? You see three Mims. The three Mims are Aqua in birth, Muhammad in prophecy, and Mahmud in the end. Coming to you to recite the purified pages of the Holy Tablet. Just kidding, I'm serious as hell. Okay, are you with me?
Sure.
All right. But we all feel, you see, listen, there is no big or small in the eye of all, and we're all one. But there's some aspects of your consciousness, like Malachi, as you say, that are far more advanced than we are. They are millions and trillions of years, in some cases, ahead of us in conscious awakening. He's the first begotten of the mentally and spiritually dead. Are you following? Not the only, but the first.
And you must become like unto him. 720 degrees of knowledge, or you must perish, for it is the cause of your error, the source of your pain. Chapter 7, Holy Tablets.
But there's only one entity out here. So that he, again, is a higher aspect of your own consciousness, a more awake aspect of your own consciousness, because we're all one. That's why Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, or I and the Father are one, or do unto your brother and sister as you would unto your, meaning you treat them with the same respect that you want to be treated with the same love and reverence, as if you're handling yourself, because we're all one. What in fact, happened is no different. This illusion was created again. Like if you look at the ocean, which is one vast body of water, when the sun comes up and gets very hot over it, it causes vaporous steam to raise off the water to form cumulus clouds in the sky, and the wind blows it out over the land. If it blows the clouds over the northern hemisphere, such as Canada and the Arctic, when the droughts by attraction are drawn together, and they get so heavy that gravity pulls them down to the ground in the form of precipitation, it won't drop as rain, it'll come down as snow because it's so cold. And as you were taught in school as a child, every snowflake has its own individual pattern or fingerprint, just like every person has its own, his or her own individual fingerprint. So it creates the illusion that there are no snowflake alike. Each and every one of us is different, not unique in itself, all separate. It creates the illusion of separateness. But now this doctrine is the heat, and the sun cycle is in, and we're going into that thaw. So the snow is melting now. And as the snow melts, it converts back into water that runs into tributaries and rivers and then back out into the ocean. And when it runs back out into the ocean, you blend back into the waves and realize the only reality. There is no you and me, or here and there and now and then. It's just a circle going around and around, from snow to water to vapor, to snow to water to vapor and clouds. We're all one. We're all this one ocean of consciousness that can create characters in the story that create the illusion of separateness or uniqueness or individualism. That's only an illusion. But the devil believes in this illusion. He believes that it's him or her against the world, and this one is this one thinks that and that one thinks, that's what makes the devil an adversary, because he or she is too ignorant to realize that they're also a part of the all, because you can't take away from it, because where would you put it? But the problem, at the root of the difficulty, that's the difficulty at the root of the problem, is by them creating the illusion of separateness, they separate themselves from their own divinity and create a hell for themselves, a personal hell for themselves. Okay? But yes, I know what you mean, brother. We all feel that, and it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Peace of the Lamb is truly wonderful. Now, I'm going to read this book for you all. Hold on. To the Nawabians, Patarak, the way. Black is evil. Light is good. 1. Laikum, beloved, Kararu, M, Najaru, children of the Najaru, welcome home to your true and only way of life, Unuwa. 2. U.S. Nuwapu, Nuwapians, are renewing your stay in these great and dreadful days. 3. Many are deceived and blinded by the wicked white light and white lies. So much deception for much too long. 6,000 years of mental sleep is far too long. As for you, as a Salal race, Nagaru, Negroids, were mentally dead in a coma state of ignorance of who you are and where you originated. 5. You were born on the best part of this whole Kawak Taha, planet Earth. 6. The richest part of it as well, now called Afabreaka, Africa, the land of the original people, Nagaru, Negroids. 7. You were in your transgression and sinful ways, ignorant to the fact that you are the gods of all races. 8. You lived out of your Kahan, Akwal, divine mind, and other worlds, acting as they do. That is the way in which you used to live until you came upon Wunuwa. 9. You no longer follow their ways, for now you have Patarak, the way. 10. And you will reshape this present Tapal world as a better place in which to live, unlike when you followed the ways of Pa, Dawi, Jawi, Tapal, the evil, wicked world of Yukasu Gorgosaurus 11, who were the rulers of this present world for 6,000 years, 12. That has ended in the year 2000 AD, and their rule is over, 13. You can feel the power of Wu Nuwa at work in those who are disobedient, transforming them inside out and outside in. 14. All of you true Nuwapians who lived among others at one time, gratifying the cravings of your lusts and greed. 15. That now dead sinful nature that led your life to following its desires and thoughts. 16. Like the rest, you were by nature objects of the spell of ignorance. 17. Yet because of the returning of Nuwa'u and the Ashu, divine love Ba-Najaru has for you. 18. They who are rich in kindness for you. 19. Have made you alive again and forevermore, even when you were mentally dead in transgressions. 20. It is by divine love, Ashu, that you were saved. 21. For the Najaru raised you up with myself in these last days of evil rule to prepare you to rule. 22. And prepare you for the heavenly realms in Sha-Sa-At-Wu, Sabat-At-Orion, and Sirius. 23. Cyrus. 23. And order that in the hereafter, or in this coming new age, you will be transformed. 24. You as Manjaru, children of the Najaru, will be able to make what is called the dimensional shift, as you Nagaru, Negroids, are of us. 25. This is done in acts of kindness and expressed by Ashu, the divine love, and you were not forgotten. 26. Those other Salau races, such as Magalu Asians, will also be able to make this shift as long as they have not degraded their DNA with animals, as those of the Yukasu Salau Caucasoids race with their usage of animal parts to prolong their life, and in turn they have cut themselves out of taking part in the dimensional shift. 27. For it is by facts, truth, you are being renewed. 28. So therefore, remember that formerly you were in ignorance and blind faith or beliefs in ghosts and unconfirmed gods programmed into your mind by those who ruled you 6,000 years ago. 29. And let me speak to you of light and dark. 30. For under the spell, you accepted that Kameen black was bad, dark was Jaweed evil, even called the Mudwa devil, the prince of darkness. 31. I ask you, are you more afraid of your home in darkness or on fire burning, which is light? 32. I ask you, is it darkening that strikes and kills, or is it lightning? And does not the Bible teach in Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Translation by King James. 33. So is not the devil, Satan, being likened to lightning? It's not darkness or blackness that is evil or wicked or devils. 34. Dark has not killed or is not an angel of evil. It's light. Job 18:5. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. Translation by King James. 35. Why is black evil or darkness evil if their own Bible says otherwise? 36. You feel safe to sleep at night when it is dark. 37. Narar, fire, is Nalar, light. It kills millions, burns homes, cars, and people. 38. Bombs, explosives, blow up as light, as firecrackers and hand grenades. That's destructive light, white. 39. In their Bible, it also says their God said, let there be light, or white. 40. Dark does not blind. 41. Yet bright, Labian, Nawar, white light does. It blinds the sight.
Blinded by the light. Yeah.
42. In their Bible, it also says their God said, let there be light. 43. If he had to ask for light, then he must have dwelt in darkness. In fact, he must have been darkness. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Translation by King James 44. You were without now all light in the Rahim womb of your old dad tat mother. DNA safe as you grew. 45. It's after their God created the light that sin and Dawi evil starts to be known. Evil was La Duda born with the light. 46. And each person does not know evil or act evil until they are born into this lit up Kakal world. 47. The devil lives in hell's Narar. Fire is not fire light. 48. Pale, weak leprosy is turning white as snow in their own Bible. Exodus 4, 6, and 7. Numbers 12, 10. Leviticus 13. And other places. 2 Kings 5, 27, 49. So is being Kabin black, Dawid evil, and cursed, or is being Labin white, Dawid evil, and cursed. 50. According to their own Bible, Labin white is the curse. Safir yellow, thin, farer fur is part of that curse. 51. All found in Leviticus 13. So are freckles, spots in the Muslim's Quran, are blue eyes, evil Quran. 120, 102. The day he, Raphael, blows the horn, and we gather crowds of the ones who are guilty, this is the day of the blue-eyed ones, translation of Al-Mahdi, 52. Now the Asiatic black man would be a man originally born or from Asia, an Oriental Asian, born or born from a Magalu Asian, Mongoloid, not Nigar, Negroid, African, originally born or from Africa, 53. Don't call yourselves Asiatic black man unless you're an Asian. And there are black Asians, 54. And there are black Indians, Dravidians, 55. Yet unlike us Negaru, Negroids, they don't have wabar hair. They have farrar, fur, flat, thin, fur, 56. Negroid is from Latin, negrus, meaning black. Sudanese meant black person, 57. Ethiopian means burnt black person, so does Nigerian and nigger, 51, 58. Yet in those lands, mixing outside our race, you have many dark-skinned persons, 59. Yet they have lost their wabar hair for farrar fur, 60. Morenos, also Latin, meaning dark-skinned to black, is from where the word more or moor comes. Simply, to be called a moor or moorish means black-skinned person, 61. Also again, after much mixing with Arabians, Turks, and Spaniards, these moors became mixed and many lost their wabar hair. Our race's uniqueness, 62. Afafria, Kayu, Africans, Negaru, Negroids are the only people on Taha Earth with nappy, cakey, woolly hair. Once with wabar hair, 63. All others and animals and beasts have farrar fur, 64. To be a true African Negroid is to be unique, 65. The one true God of Pakawak Taha, the planet Earth, 66. Look where it starts, 67. Let's look at the Labin white, a pale man's Christian Bible, John chapter 1. Verse 1, St. John 1:1, 68, it says, in the beginning was the word. First, let's go back to the beginning of their Bible and see what that word they call logos, Greek Strong's 3056, was. What was this word? Who said it? Greek Strong 3056. Logos, logos, Greek from Greek Strong's 3004. Lego, Greek, lego, meaning to utter, reply, speech, spoken word, to say, speak, 69. So let's see what was said by this Mukwan being or Mukwanu beings in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, to show it's in the beginning. According to them, it says, in the beginning, God, Hebrew Strong 430, Elohim, God's judges, created the heavens and the earth, 70. So it was Elohim in the beginning, 71. That is a group, and one of the Elohim is called El. Hebrew Strong's 410, meaning God, 72. As you read in Psalms 82:1, God, Hebrew Strong's 430, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, El, Hebrew Strong's 410. God, he judgeth amongst the gods. Elohim, Hebrew Strong, 430, 73. So you see, both the plural used in Hebrew Strong 430, Elohim, gods, and the single used as in Hebrew Strong 410, El, God, 74. Now let's return to Genesis chapter 1 to see this, 75. As it happened in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void in darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit, Hebrew Strong 7307, Ruach, meaning soul, breath, wind, wing, spirit, ghost, 76. And it's the exact same word used in the Muslim's Quran, 1529, bring it into him, my spirit, 1785, meaning soul, breath, wind, spirit, ghost, 77. So you see it's soul, breath, wind, ghost, or spirits, 78. Now, let's return to Genesis 1, 2. And the spirit, soul, ghost, breath of Elohim, gods, moved upon the face of the waters, 79. So one of the Elohim gods moved upon the face of the waters, 80. So one of the Elohim gods, as a soul, ghost, spirit, breath, came down to earth, which was covered with water, and it was dark, 81. This Elohim is one, was an El, God, 82. This El, or God, was called Ruach, in Hebrew, or in Arabic, Ru. And later called Yahweh, Jehovah, or Jah, Hebrew, Strong's 3068, meaning existence, alive, live, from Hey, Yah, Hebrew, Strong's 1961, meaning being, became alive, 83. So this L called Ruach, Ru, became a Hey, to Yahweh, or Lord, 84. So they called him the Lord God, which in fact, in the Hebrew, was Yahweh Elohim, living one of the gods, existing one of the gods who came down to earth, 85. Now back to Genesis 1, the beginning, to see what that word was that was spoken by this Lord God, or Lord of the gods, as he was called in John's 1:1, the word, or the word of God, or gods, 86. Now in flesh, breathing wind, breath, 87. Now read Genesis 1:3, and it says, and God said, let there be light, 88. So this El of the Elohim spoke to the Elohim who sent him to earth and asked them to turn on the light so that he could see in the darkness, 89. Remember what Genesis 1:2 said, and void, darkness, so he could not see, 90, and asked for light. As you know, back then there was no such thing as electricity, no electric lights of any kind, only Narar, fire, or sunlight. And the Aha, moon, did not exist yet, 91. And no spiritual knowledge was taught yet, 92. So it's not light as knowledge yet, 93. Because no man or woman, according to this Bible, existed yet to teach knowledge as light, 94. So it could only be fire as illumination. Remember Nuwapu, Nuwapians, we know better, 95. This is according to the Abrahamism religions, Mosesism, Jesusism, and Mohammedism, 96. So this incarnated El of Elohim, called Yahweh, asked for light, or Hebrew Strong's 215, 216, meaning illumination, lightning, brightness, kindle, fire, shine, light, 97. So you see, it's fire or illumination, which he asked then to shine forth, 98, so that he could see in the darkness, 99. So we return back to John 1:1. 100. In the beginning was the word logos, Greek Strong's 3056, from the Hebrew word dabar, Hebrew Strong's 1696, 1697, meaning spoken, a word, words to speak, 101. So you can see it was spoken, word, 102. He spoke out and asked for fire, light, 103. So the word in the beginning is O-W-R, or fire, light. And the word was with or said to the gods, Elohim, or in Greek, theos, of the Theoi, Yahweh, Theoi, Yahweh, of the Elohim, or El, of the Elohim, 104. And later they say, John 1:14, and the word was made flesh, Sarx, Greek, Strong, 4561, 4563, meaning flesh, skin, meat, human nature, human being, 105. So as you read, the fire, light was made into flesh, just as it says about another being, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So these beings were fire, light, that came down to earth, made transformed into skin, translation by King James, 106. These angels are good and bad ones, as you read in Job 1, 6 and 7. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. 7. And the Lord saith unto Satan, Whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Translation by King James, 107. Satan comes as one of the angels walking here on earth. You may not recognize one of them as angels of light, fire, as it says in Hebrews 13:2. Now read this, Hebrews 2:14-16. For as so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage, 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Translation by King James, now is blackness, black, darkness, dark, bad, or while we eat good, right, good, 108. After reading it yourself, is whiteness, white, lightness, light, good, or bad, right, bad, 109. The Bible makes it plain, you have been deceived by a white angel, an angel of light, lightning, Satan himself, and his angels, 110. Karabu, cherubim, in flesh as lepers, 111. Look what it says in Psalms 18, 1 through 16, as well as in Psalms 99, 1. Psalms 106, 39. Psalms 104, 1 through 6, 112. Teaching lies, John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Translation by King James, 113. They say dark is evil, black is bad, white is good, light is good, 114. So anything dark is considered gloomy, dim, unenlightening, or wicked because of absence of light is darkness, darkened darkly, and darkling darkly lies. 115. Black, black ball, black magic, black mark of illicit, blackout, loss of memory or consciousness, black widow, venomous spider. 116. Black guard, scoundrel, blackmail, extorted by threats. 117. You see the lies they teach, how black is misused to put fear of black-skinned people in their Karadu children, when it's them that do all the world's evils, wars, killings, and rapes. 118. For 6,000 years, you have lived in fear of darkness, while their Bible says, 1 Kings 8:12, then spoke Solomon, the Lord said, that he would dwell in the thick darkness. 2 Chronicles 6:1. Their Lord God was in darkness before now walked light on the rare fire. 119. So there are two groups of Pukwanu beings called God or gods. 120. Some took on human skin as Momabu, humanoids, yet pale, Labin, white skin, and walk up and down in the earth, causing Dawid evil and Jawidless wickedness. 121. And you have black devils doing the work of Satan, teaching his lie about them, having them say, I'm not African, I'm this or that. 122. Anything except what they are. 123. In our homeland, under our own laws, our Karadu children are born in darkness with no artificial Nawar light or electrical lights, only candlelight or none. 124. We can see in the dark, no others can. 125. Why? Because we are darkness. Nuntak nun nejar tweet, personifying the primeval waters out of which emerged the creator, Najar Path, tomb. All right?
Now, excerpts from the Revelation to the Nawapians. Patarak, the way, black magic, white magic, one. Lycum, my beloved children, if only you had Ashu, divine love for each other as I love you too. And if only you can treat each other with Ashu love and respect as well as the Kawak planet and your own Katadu bodies. 3, our work here on this planet would be so much easier than it is with the inner family wars passed on to you by the DNA of Homo simian, Homo canine, or the human beast man's kind. 4, if only you will help us to help you, a Fabre, Kayu, Nigaru, African Negroids, the unique ones, the first, and will be the last. 5, for you see, there is a 6,000-year-old Heje spelled upon a Fabre, Kayu, Nigar, African Negroid, woolly haired people the world over. 6, and it is a Haje Shalal Nawam, spell of sleep, spiritual ignorance, and racial blindness, cast upon Negroids 6,000 years ago. 7. By what became religion of aliens who came into Africa and spread the religious disease and cast Pa Hajal Shalal Akwad, the spell of faith, taking away our ancestors' sight. 8. Teaching them to walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, to believe in the unseen, the first root ritual of AJ, spell of ignorance that blinded our race. 9, Mak Raju, outsiders, aliens, foreigners, enter Africa with their spellbinding Zam at religions, opinions, lies. 10, by Lawi Tanan, Leviathan, Lucifer, from the Caucasoid, the cursed, and those sub-races who obey Pakakasu and their overlords, Tananu, Draconians, and their stone tablets, scrolls, which became the Bible and Quran for their Salal race as their God's chosen people outside of Africa. So this was not for us Africans. 11. And by accepting these, that is why no one teaching for them has been able to really unite our race wherever, not in any considerable number. 12. They come and go, stand and fall back, down awake and back to sleep. Fa, Hej, Shayal, Nawam, the spell of deep sleep. 13. And this is also why the race of African Negroids, as a people, no matter where on this planet, Kawak, no matter who they mix or marry, have not been able to make real progress towards freedom and inner equality or a quantity of life. 14. Once you are no longer thinking, you are no longer creating, and thus are not progressing. 15. With the help of Pa Kakasu, Caucasoids, and Leviathan, the god of the Bible and Quran, the Negro Negroes are hypnotized with form of amnesia and can't remember how you built the pyramids or how to read your own Safaat hieroglyphics. 16. A hypnotic spell to ignorance, what is your own and accept what is not your own, that keeps you mentally surprised and enslaved. 17. With their white magic powers and devil worship as God, Lord, they sealed the hypnosis with spiritual ignorance called acquired faith to reject your own faith. 18. And reject your own Salal race and learn to love others. 19. And the only way this AJ spell can be broken and Africans, Negroids, be free of it again, and free indeed, is that the spiritual ignorance of 6 ether, 6 mind, and 6 body be destroyed by spiritual confirmations and nature of 9 ether, 9 mind, and 9 body. 20. The racial blindness will be destroyed by actual facts about who and what you are and was what you did, Tapal, world over, long before other sub-races were grafted from animals to have farar, fur, which replaced wabar, hair. 21. Know yourself, a Fabri, KU, Africans. 22. Know yourself, Negaru, Negroids. 23. Because it is futile trying to free hypnotize people without the black magic formula that will reverse this hypnotic spell, which is keeping our Sakasis, who people, in mental and physical captivity to others' religions and beliefs. 24. And the black magic, or Kamatat, of the Kamanu Ogduaz, Nuntet Nun, Hutat Hu, Kuktat Ku, Amuntat Amun. 25. Our black magic formula that reverses and destroys the evil white magic of Shazamu, bloodlusters, or Lawitanan, the hypnotic spell cast on our race 6,000 years ago. 26. Wu Nuwa, can and will break this evil, wicked AJ spell if you read and let it work. It's black magic to remove the white magic, 27. So it is futile trying to unite so-called Negroes or Afro-European or Americans or Caribbeans physically or spiritually without first uniting our Ba'u souls and etheric beings that is uniting mentally.